Please be seated. Christ is risen. Amen. This is what we believe. This is the foundation of our faith. Paul in today's epistle writes, "If in Christ we have hope only in this life, we are the most pitiful people of all." Now, why would he write that? Because there were rumors, there was talk that the resurrection wasn't true, that it was a trick, that it was fake, that it was all made up. Now, as crazy as that sounds, there are modern theologians in the church today that say, and I can't understand this, but they say that the church made the whole story up. They do. They call themselves Christians. They call themselves scholars. They call themselves theologians. But they look at this and they go, it didn't happen. Didn't make sense. It's never happened before. It didn't happen. And they say this. And what they say is that the church made this up. And here's their logic. They say that the disciples made this story up because they needed significance. They needed places of honor. They needed to have a job. What happened was they were following the Lord for 3 years. They expected him to overcome the government. They had promises that they would sit on thrones. And then Good Friday happened. And Jesus died. And as the story would go, that's all that happened. And so what they did is they told a story to people so they could have positions of power and significance, like Peter or the other disciples. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. And if it made sense to you, you probably wouldn't be here this morning. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is our hope, and this is a certain hope. Now, how do we know this? Well, first of all, when the women went to the tomb, the thought of Jesus being risen from the dead was foreign to them. They went to the tomb with spices and perfumes. They didn't go there to see a risen Lord. They didn't go there to see a miracle. They thought, he's dead. Let's bring some spices and some perfumes. They were surprised. So the first thought is this. The resurrection was foreign to them. It wasn't even part of their thinking. The angels appeared and said to them, "Why are you looking for the risen Lord among the dead? He's not here." When people die, and we've all of us, I'm sure every single person in this room can think of someone that has died this year or has died in the last couple years or maybe decades. And when they die, we give them a plaque or a stone that says, "Here lies," and the person's name, and maybe a scripture passage or something nice, the date that they were born and the date that they died, and a little dash in the middle. But the angels didn't say that. They didn't say, "Here lies." They said, "He's not here. He is risen from the dead. Why are you even looking for him here?" The first point is that this miracle was not even part of their thinking. It was foreign to them. Number two, it was rejected. Now, this is embarrassing, and some of you, like almost half of you, aren't going to like what I'm about to say, but I'll say it anyway. It was rejected because, first of all, I don't know if you know this, but by Mosaic law, you didn't have a woman testify. It was against the Mosaic law. So, if you wanted to make up a story, if you wanted to conspire, you wanted to try to sell something to people, you wouldn't send women to the tomb. No offense. You have to understand the Jewish mindset. The Jewish mindset was a woman could not bear testimony. It had to be a man. Those were the days. And so to have Jesus appear first to Mary Magdalene is not something that anybody would ever create because it doesn't make any sense in those days. Jesus appears to the women first, women. That's who he appears to. But at first they rejected it. And then when they went back to the men, even they rejected it. The 11, they kind of thought it was a tale. They laughed at it. So number one, it wasn't part of their thinking. It was foreign. Number two, they rejected it. Not just the women, but the men, the whole inner council, the early church. They didn't buy into it right away. I don't understand why. Jesus took his disciples up to Philippi, Caesarea Philippi, and he said to them plainly, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to have to die. I will be rejected. But on the third day, I will rise from the dead. But they didn't understand the scriptures. But Peter gets up, runs to the tomb. Scripture tells us that John was with him. John outran him, got there first, looked in, but out of respect for Peter, allowed Peter to go in first. Number three, they understood the resurrection, but it took time. Peter went home after he saw the linen lying there, and he went home and he pondered it. He marveled over it. What was the meaning of this thing? And then Scripture tells us, between the resurrection and the ascension, we have 11 accounts in Scriptures of Jesus appearing. In fact, if you're here next Sunday, Jesus appears in the locker room to the disciples that are afraid and says, peace be with you. 11 times we have narratives in the Bible of Jesus appearing to his disciples. Not only that, this is very impressive. Jesus appeared to over 500 people at once. Scripture tells us that. We have eyewitnesses. Now, why is that important? Well, how many of you were here when Trinity was first started? Raise your hand really high. You were here when they laid the original cornerstone, and you remember being here. Okay, nobody with past lives? Okay, all right. So if I wanted to make up a story of what happened on that very first day that they laid the stone for Trinity, none of you would call me on the carpet and say, ah, he's just a liar, because you were all not here. If you want to make up a story, you need at least 100 years to tell a story, a fable, an idle tale, so that people go, yeah, maybe that did happen. Maybe UFOs did land when they did dig the ground here at Trinity. Maybe it was from outer space. Yeah, you need everybody to be dead and gone in a grave so that you can make up a story. Jesus appeared over 11 times to the disciples between his resurrection and his ascension. And he appeared to over 500 people. And Scripture told us that when he was writing this, many of these people were still alive. They were eyewitnesses. So I think to myself, how in the world could people believe that the early church just made this up so that the apostles could have prominent seats or places of significance so they could show off in the early church? And then I thought about Good Friday. And it came to me, and I read about this, and I never thought about this before, but think about it. Do you remember Good Friday? Some of you were here. Jesus is on the cross dying. He's central. He is in the middle. And he has two people with him, right? He has two thieves with him. He has one on the right, and he has one on the left. Both of them were criminals. Both of them were sinners. Both of them were dying for sins that they committed. And one thief, maybe the one on the right, said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Here's a guy that's dying, asking a man that's dying to save him. Jesus is nailed to the cross, completely naked, giving up everything. And he recognizes through the eyes of faith that this is not a criminal, this is not a rabbi, this is truly the Son of God, like the centurion did later. And through the eyes of faith, the man on the right, the criminal, to deathbed confession, turns to Jesus and says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. And the man on the left, nothing. Doesn't believe. And so it is today. And it's never going to change. I have people in my own family. I have friends, relatives that are on the left. Never happened. I don't know why you got up so early this morning. Don't believe it. Don't post things on Facebook about it. We don't want to hear it. We're not religious, not even spiritual. There will always be people on the left who do not believe. And there will always be people on the right who say, yes, this is my faith. I never thought about this before, but Christ is central. And he has two people, one to the left and one on the right. It's a type, really, of when he comes again in his glory. Think about it this way. When the end comes, and I don't know when the end's going to come, only he does. He knows everything. But when the end comes, he will take center throne. And there will be those on the right, and there will be those on the left, just like the two thieves. There will be those who will hear the word, welcome into the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world, predestined for knowing. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. You visited me in prison. You took care after me. When did we do this, Lord? As much as you've done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. And then he will say to the ones on the left, depart from me, for I never knew you. For you did not visit, you did not clothe, you did not help me, you did not minister to me at all. There always will be this great division. People who believe and people that think it is all made up. My prayer is that you believe that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.